Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. And bleep all the normal introductions. Bob's got something that's going to blow our minds.
Oh, do you want to get right into this now? Like right out of the gate?
Okay. Right. You know why, Bob?
So you don't want to hear me complain about the streetcar?
Oh, no. We're good. That's second.
Okay.
We're going to get there because, Bob, I was born ready.
Okay. Well, yeah. I walked into Matt's place, which is now Christmas treeless.
Yeah.
And really kind of lonely, actually.
Maybe I know.
Amy was right about making the place all festive.
Yeah.
Like, your place is nice, but it's kind of, I don't know. Like, no offense, but.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's just there.
But I walked in like Kramer, threw open the door and announced, Matt, I have a take that will mess you up.
I'm here for it.
And it hit me at about 1 o'clock the other night. And I'm watching Showcase and there was a Star Trek movie on. And then there was a Star Trek movie on right after that one.
Yep.
The first movie was the reboot from 2009 with Chris Pine taking over the Enterprise.
Great movie.
Really
great.
Good.
Great movie.
You know what? Peter's out in the middle because the story's kind of convoluted and the villain's not that great.
Yeah.
But it's it does what J.J. Abrams does very well, which is showcase a reboot.
Yeah.
Right? Like the cast is really good. The scene with him driving through the Iowa cornfields as a kid with Beastie Boys blasting in the background.
Love it.
Great scene. And then it's In Darkness comes on afterwards. And I hadn't really seen that. And I watched about half of it and it suddenly dawned on me. The Star Trek franchise is better than the Star Wars franchise.
That's cute. I remember when I had my first beer.
That was good.
Thank you.
That was fast, too.
Yeah, I was trying for maximum condescension and minimum amount of time.
That was good. I placed the first serve and you hit a rocket right back. That was good.
I mean, I get it. I think there's been more Star Trek movies. God, there's been a lot of Star Trek movies.
Well, you just have to think of it as an entity, as a universe.
Yeah.
The universe has been successful more times than the Star Wars universe has. The Star Wars has the two highest peaks.
Yeah.
The episode 4 and episode 5.
Yeah.
Nothing Star Trek ever did was as good as 4 or 5. But if we're honest with ourselves, Star Wars takes a pretty big drop after that. Like, I haven't seen The Mandalorian, and I hear it's awesome.
Yeah.
But is there anything else that you would classify from the Star Wars world as excellent?
Rogue One.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked it.
I would put Rogue One. I will still take Star Wars, but I understand if you do it in its entirety... there are a lot of, like, with Star Trek, it was always the odd movie was really good. Like, the evens, like, 1, 3, and 5 weren't as good. But I thought Search for Spock actually is actually kind of underrated.
See, here's the thing. You're thinking of it as a movie franchise. Mm-hmm. I'm saying the universe.
The universe.
Star Trek is actually way more successful on television than
Picard
it has been.
Picard and Kirk and...
Come on. I'm watching these Picard promos that are coming out. I'm excited because I think Star Trek The Next Generation is one of the most underrated TV shows in history.
Yep.
It's not one of the best, but it's one of the most underrated. And when you think about it, I started thinking how it was kind of an example of what would come in the future. It was a reboot. It was a rethink. It was almost like a universe extender. You had the new crew come in, but within the same universe. I mean, a very Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of vibe.
Yep.
And it was outstanding.
Yeah, they pulled it off.
Like, they filled Patrick Stewart's chair with the Picard chair with a Shakespearean actor, which is like such a Marvel trick later to get these hokey B-level characters, but fill them with classic actors, right?
Christopher Plummer was great. I forget which Star Trek he was in.
Yeah, I forget which one he was
in. Yeah, he was great. Malcolm McDowell.
Kirstie
Alley was in number two. Christian Slater had a brief scene in one of the Star Trek movies. Malcolm McDowell killed Captain Kirk.
First TV show was revolutionary, although people didn't realize that at the time. It was a mixed race crew.
Yep.
They had a Russian
in
the middle of the Cold War.
Yeah.
And
first interracial kiss on television.
You know, Uhura. It was a really progressive show.
Yes.
And a really progressive universe.
It was.
So it dawned on me that if you're looking at total successes, Star Trek is superior to Star Wars.
Okay, I can see the argument. At first, I was thinking movies, and you acknowledge Empire Strikes Back is better than anything that either has done. But both, but Star Trek certainly deserves the conversation. Bob, here's the most condescending thing I can say.
Okay.
I'll allow that argument.
Okay.
Yeah, I will allow it.
It's very Mitch McConnell of
you. What's that fella up to? He seems like a real toe-tapping fun guy to be around.
My new favorite is Steve Mnuchin, the head of economic development in the Trump cabinet, who said Greta Thunberg should go to economic school and then she can lecture us on things.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's her point, but...
How dare you? How dare you say that about me? I'm working on my Greta Thunberg.
Keep your voice down. The money will hear you.
I'm trying to do my impersonation. It is fun when old rich men yell at a young girl who...
He's had one of my favorite looks through all of this Trump fiasco, the Steve Mnuchin face, because he just sits there and smiles.
Yeah.
And it's like he's like, inside his mind, there's a cab meter. And the money is just like going up and up, and he'll just sit and smile.
I agree with the idea that some people in the media, we fetishize about children, let them lead the way. However, ripping on a young girl basically just as worried about the climate and our planet seems like an odd place to go to me.
It's just the craziest thing, Matt.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and the final point on climate stuff, and then we can move on to the Leafs or whatever. Is even if some of the scientists are wrong about how it's going to happen, is there any reasonable person who says, but I think it's probably a good idea to pollute the shit out of the planet anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
And to take all the natural resources and fucking fry them.
Yeah.
Like, I know that the scientists said that it's going to happen in 50 years. Idiots, it's going to be 60.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, let's just take a step back. Mm-hmm. But once again, Matt, the problem is if we keep talking this way, the money will hear us.
Yeah.
We don't want the money to get upset.
No. Oh, there you are, money. Oh, there you are. Look at you. Oh, you know the money loves? It gets on its back and it puts its paws up in the air and you rub the belly of the money. Rub the belly of the money. Ooh. Oh, good boy.
You know what,
that's
Matt?
That's a good boy.
Pod Save America always titles its episodes.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't steal it, but maybe we should. Because if we were going to rub the money's belly.
Rub the money's belly edition of the pod.
All righty.
All right. So we'll do some sports, but also I want to get into... you on the streetcar today.
Yeah, we'll do it later.
Yeah, and why? I'm doing radio. I'm teasing ahead. And coming up, why, when you see a shuttle bus, it's time to run. That's coming up next. But first, on the Macko and Cause podcast, we get into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning retired today. Last night.
Yeah.
It's going to lead to a lot of yelling. Because people get angry at the idea of Eli Manning being in the Hall of Fame. It's mostly from the group, and rightfully so, that hates the stat of QB wins or the stat of how many Super Bowls you have defines how great you are.
Now, specifically, you're suggesting that his individual numbers are not as great as his team numbers.
Yes, and team numbers, if you attribute it, we sometimes put far too much attribution on the quarterback for a team win, and that's a much more newer way of thinking, more nuanced, more analytical. So for that group, they hate the idea of Eli Manning going in the Hall of Fame, and I get it. I'm fine. If he never makes it in, that's fine.
Yeah, people always say, well, does Robert Horry belong in the NBA Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
you know, he was
exactly.
Big Shot Bob. And or does Paul Henderson belong in the Hockey Hall of Fame because he had maybe the single biggest goal in history?
Yeah, exactly.
An international play. Where do you stand on this? I'm assuming that you think he belongs just because you're an obsessive Manning apologist.
Tom Coughlin absolutely belongs in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. That's without debate. He's not, you know, he's old guy who yells at young people, so he's not exactly beloved by young people, but he belongs in the Hall of Fame. As for Eli Manning, I'm Switzerland on this. I mean, I can see both sides. I wish I had a hotter take. He had two incredible runs in the playoffs where he was great against elite teams and Hall of Fame quarterbacks on the road. What he did was remarkable.
Is he even a top seven Giant? Like, you've been a fan of the Giants since...
1990.
Yeah, okay. So from 90 to now. Okay, that's a good sample size. 30 years.
Yeah.
Is he even a top seven Giant during that time in terms of quality of player?
Let's see.
Probably not, right?
No, there's some defensive linemen. Yeah. There's a bunch of defensive linemen.
Some running backs.
No, he's been the Giants never had
Otis Anderson?
Otis Anderson, though, when he came, if we're going to go down that road, he came to the team in 1988, cranked out a couple, cranked out one barely 1,000-yard season, had a great Super Bowl where he was the MVP.
Julius Peppers?
Pepper Johnson.
Thank you. That's what Pepper I mean. Johnson. Yeah, sorry, I got it crossed up with the defensive.
Oh, wow. Now we're going down to work. If we're going to do early 90s on New York Giants, that
why not,
is
Matt?
My,
why not? Yeah, you, honestly, exactly. You should see Matt. You know what? There may be no Christmas tree in this room, but that doesn't mean it's not lit up in here.
Yeah, this might be even too self-indulgent for me. But
no, go for it. Yeah, no such thing.
Okay, he's not better than Lawrence Taylor. Not better than Pepper Johnson, because Pepper Johnson was among the top of his peers for a short period of time. See, that's the thing about Eli. Eli was never in the NFL in any year a top five quarterback. Mm-hmm. He had a couple nice statistical seasons. He had those two crazy runs, but in a lot of years of average, slightly above average, and he threw a lot of interceptions. So I'm fine if he does not get in first ballot. He's a Larry Walker-ish, gets in right at the end.
If that exact same story plays out exactly the same way, but he's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about him in the Hall of Fame, or is it just because he's in New York?
It's part of it. It's why Derek Jeter, you know, is a no-doubter his first time,
right.
And Larry Walker had to wait till the end.
See, it's funny that it's both fair and unfair. I don't mean to be Switzerland on this, but if you do it in the biggest market, of course you're going to get more heat.
Yeah.
If you can do it in a smaller market, like think about Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn was probably the best hitter of our lifetime before Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm. And Bonds.
And Bonds.
Which, by the way, right. We've talked about this before. Barry Bonds is sitting there looking at Colin Kaepernick. Oh, you got blackballed. I led baseball in OPS, and then I never got a job again. So calm down there, young. Love your message. You're absolutely getting blackballed by a bunch of cowardly, greedy NFL owners, but you ain't no Barry Bonds when it comes to being blackballed.
That's a good point. Have you made that on the air?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Yeah, no, okay. That's
many
good.
Times.
And it's not a comment against Kaepernick.
No.
It's a comment of like degrees of...
The greatness of Bonds. But yeah. Tony Gwynn, small market,
anyway,
San
my
Diego.
Point is that we don't really talk about him because he was a Padre, which might be the smallest market in baseball, if I'm right.
It's up there. I mean, it's one
Tampa
of the most...
Bay?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the most irrelevant. Absolutely.
Even when they were great, no one cared.
Yeah. Yeah,
which was under him, right?
Yeah, who did they get from Baltimore? Who's the shortstop? I don't even remember anymore. But they made one of the big signings like last year.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. We're both going to forget.
Manny Machado.
Manny Machado, thank you. It's like, huh? Where is he now? Oh, okay. Moving on.
I know that we're just rambling here, but just quick sidebar.
Yeah.
I kind of decided when I saw this Jeter thing that my interest in baseball is so low.
Mm-hmm.
It might actually drop out of the top four.
How can it with the cheating scandal?
Because I just don't care.
Okay. Well, you know what? You got a kid. You got a busy life. You can't care about it all.
No, I love the sport.
Yeah.
But MLB is a total mess.
Yeah.
The games are too long. Your champions basically just pissed on the last two titles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't exactly 80s NBA drama.
Yeah.
But we're getting there. It's actually a slow drip as opposed to the cataclysm that was the 80s and the NBA.
Listen, here's the thing. The problem with baseball is not the cheating. The problem with baseball is analytics, where now the game is home runs and strikeouts.
It's the shift.
Yeah. Nothing's exciting about it. And the funny thing is, if someone says, hey, we got to get more runs, well, then the game's going to go on longer. So we want the game to be shorter, but we want more runs. But to score runs, that takes time. The game's now like... Boop,
do you know what
boop,
baseball
boop,
is?
What?
Baseball is a completed crossword puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nobody sits there and says, I'd love to do that crossword puzzle again just to relive the experience. Once the puzzle's solved, you move on.
It's in a tough spot aesthetically. It's in a really tough spot.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to Eli Manning.
Go back.
Because I got some Eli questions for you.
Okay, back to Eli Manning. And then I want to get into more big picture NFL quarterback stuff. But,
sure.
But... yeah, so as for Eli, everyone's going to yell about it. I think if he gets in, it's going to be borderline many years down the road. It's not going to be a first-year thing.
Has there ever been an athlete who is able to rehabilitate a draft day disaster quite like Eli Manning?
You mean in terms of saying no to San Diego?
Yeah.
John Elway.
That's the only other one that comes to mind.
Yeah, Elway, that's it.
Do you find it weird about how we pick and choose when we hate athletes for exercising their rights or powers?
Mm-hmm.
Like Eric Lindros is still vilified.
How dare you do that?
After a Hall of Fame career
Yeah.
because he turned his back on a shitty franchise in the middle of the hinterland.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to play in an American media market. But yep. Eli Manning, on the other hand, is like, well, oh, geez, well, who'd want to go to San Diego?
Yeah, it is weird. But again, it's like the shifting, our morality doesn't flow on a rational train. It's scattershot. It's the NFL in 2004 said, we will not allow a Las Vegas ad during the Super Bowl. And now they're going to draft from Las Vegas, from the fountain at the Bellagio. So the Bellagio is going to be filled with mostly 20-year-olds in Vegas. So morality, just give it time and we move on and change.
It's just a gigantic bubble test. Yeah. Our morality, just be.
Yeah,
be.
Exactly.
Are you reading the questions? No time.
No
be,
time.
Be.
Yeah. So, I think Eli was the best. Like, yeah, no one cared. No one even brings it up. No one remembers that Eli said no to San Diego. Like,
nobody does. Nobody remembers that John Elway did.
Yeah.
Although that one lasted a little longer.
That one had a bit of a stink. But the Eli Manning, unless you're wearing a Tony Gwynn jersey on right now, you don't remember that he spurned San Diego.
And you know what the difference is between Elway and Manning? I'm convinced. Mm. Elway looks smug.
Yeah.
Elway looks California.
Yeah.
Eli had a kind of a Midwestern, aw shucks look on his face. So even while he was pulling a power play, you'd be like, oh, yeah, but you want that guy to marry your sister.
It's like 100%. It's like, it's why you want, ironically with Trump, but you want a strong jaw in char, like as the president or flying your plane. You don't want the schlubby guy, even though the schlubby guy
might have studied.
Yeah.
As opposed to the guy with the strong jaw who is out there like, you know, on spring break.
Yeah.
Of course. Whooping it up.
Do you think there's a sexist other side? Do you want strong bone cheeks on the woman to lead? Or do you think, huh, she's hot. She can't be smart. I want the doughy woman in charge.
Well, certainly in the corporate world, you know, women and their looks. Like, I don't know. You would have to ask a woman about this.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any question that, like, in the corporate world, there is an image thing, and then there's a performance thing.
Yeah.
Although I think it's probably true, obviously, less so for dudes. But
but there's some of the dudes, like taller guys are more, better chance to be richer and CEOs and all that.
As the great Jack Donaghy once said about Curly, he can't lead this company. He has curly hair.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we all have our ideal images in our head. And I think we all sort of break down both culturally and even individually. We have ideas of the way somebody should look when they do a job.
Yeah. It's like stand-up comedian. Don't be too hot. Mm-hmm. Don't be too hot.
Yeah, you've said that because then you feel like you don't earn the funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I think Eli, that's part of it. He got away with it because of his looks.
So if Eli's career was a wine, what wine would it be? And explain show the work.
Show the work. His wine, or that wine would be, okay, I'll go something local. He's an Ontario Cabernet Sauvignon.
Really?
Yes. And the reason is that grape, it's a thick grape. So that means it takes a lot of sun for it to fully ripen. And in Ontario, we don't get that same amount of sun as, say, you get in California. So a lot of years, it's bad wine. But some years, when it's really warm at the right time, you can make a great Ontario Cabernet Sauvignon. But it's rare. So in 2007 and 2010, the hot sun ripened that grape, and you got Super Bowls. But a lot of other years, it was underripe and green and not that good.
I just, because we're not filming this, and we probably should, but because we're not filming this, you, dear listener, cannot know that when Matt said, and it's rare, his eyes lit up because he realized that he was going to stick the landing on his analogy.
Yeah.
You knew it. Yeah. You saw the clear path to the end. You know what it was? It was like you broke through the last tackle. The end zone was in front of you.
I was Ryan Mostert in the NFC Championship game. There's big holes everywhere, and I'm just running right through it.
And you're concentrating so hard to make sure the first part of it worked.
Yeah.
And you got through that thicket.
Yep.
Whew, nothing but smooth sailing.
That's right.
You wanted to talk other NFL quarterback stuff? Is this an Aaron Rodgers thing for you?
No. Aaron Rodgers is funny. It feels like he's in between two generations because he was there in Green Bay when Brett Favre was still really good.
The much more loved Brett Favre?
Yeah. Oh, love Brett Favre. But the old generation seems done. The Mannings are gone. Drew Brees was the third best quarterback in a playoff loss to Kirk Cousins. Ben Roethlisberger is beat up. Philip Rivers has moved permanently to Florida.
Did you mention Drew Brees?
Drew Brees.
I've missed it.
Drew Brees, third best quarterback in that loss to Minnesota. Kirk Cousins, and then that the Taysom Hill, or that fella is on the Saints.
And the other side of that is, in order for the old guard to go away, you have to have a credible new guard. Like in tennis, the old guard is still winning, because nobody's come to replace them.
Yeah.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the quarterbacks you're talking about are bad quarterbacks. They're still all good quarterbacks. They're just not the best quarterbacks anymore.
Yeah.
And so when they're playing the best teams, they lose.
Yeah. And they're going away. Brees, third best quarterback. The Mannings have retired. Ben Roethlisberger is beat up, and I don't know how much more we're going to see of him.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers moved, as he said, permanently to Florida. Bob, there are three people who move permanently to Florida. Do you know who they are?
Okay, can I guess?
Yeah.
Rich people, retirees, and NFL quarterbacks who want a final job with the Dolphins.
Close. Tax cheats.
Okay.
Deadbeat dads.
Okay.
Retirees.
Okay. Your list is better.
Yeah. Yeah.
You spent a lot of time in Florida. You've probably seen all these people.
Exactly. And then there's
deadbeat dads.
Deadbeat dads, tax cheats, and retirees.
And they go and open up like a crab shack on the beach.
Well, the deadbeat dads, a lot of them hang out more in the central part. It gets a little more...
is that a little shady?
It's a little more dicey.
Is that where they're... speaking of, I was funny to say that. Yeah. That's where you're throwing dice, right?
Yeah. Oh,
by the way, if you gamble and you throw dice,
yeah,
that's too much.
Yeah,
that's always the symbol you've gone too far. When you move from cards to dice...
And you're throwing them like on the corner of a floor.
Yeah, not at the casino.
No.
It's like when you're in the alley.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of guys and it looks like a marble circle and you're throwing dice and everyone's got their loose bills.
It's the cockfighting of the gambling world when you're just
that's a great line.
You're just throwing dice at a wall.
Oh, God.
And then
you're on fire today. That's the second thing we could have titled this episode. Yeah. The cockfighting of the gambling world.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then Breeze looks old.
Yeah.
You know. So now we have the new generation, as you said. Lamar Jackson led the NFL in touchdowns and was seventh in rushing. And Russell Wilson is the old one at 31 who had his best season. Patrick Mahomes, you know, we'll see how Kyler Murray does and we'll see how, you know, Joe Burrow's. But it really feels like the bigger point is it feels like we're in a generational shift of quarterbacks.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield, I don't think we believe in. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold, maybe he's going to be a Ryan Tannehill, where if you just get him on a good team and in a good system, he's going to be a good quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's no shame in that.
No, there's no shame in that at all.
Josh Allen, probably not. Josh Allen has the tools, but maybe not the
can he learn to be more accurate?
Yeah. Actually, I shouldn't say he has the tools, because accuracy should count.
Accuracy is the number one tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of that comes with...
He's got the arm strength.
He's got the arm strength. He's athletic, but the footwork and like everything starts like you're... Like Steve Young is insane. He can look at any of his passes and he can look at his feet and he can tell you if he completed the pass or not just by looking at how he dropped back.
Amazing.
And yeah, it's crazy.
Well, this is the thing is you would like to believe that as you understand the game better, your accuracy would improve because you're better anticipating where people are going to be, where not to throw it, all that stuff. But I don't believe that that's true. I think that's probably like a, I don't know, make up a number, 15% increase. Mm-hmm. The real, it's all technical.
Yep.
Everything is technical. I learned this doing classical music. Is like you can dream up whatever you want, but if you're not playing the right way, you can't play it the right way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There is a gap between what you think and what you can do. It's all technique.
Fundamentals are and technique are boring, but that's the base from where you get all the fun, good stuff.
Practice makes permanent.
Yeah, absolutely. Before you can crane kick, you got to paint the fence and wax the car.
You know, can we quickly sidebar?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about The Karate Kid, but every generation loves that movie. It's like the Wizard of Oz of martial arts movies. Like, I showed it to my daughter.
Yeah.
And she loved it.
Really?
And she hated those bastards in Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you think she walks around the house doing now?
Oh, she's crane kick. She's crane kicking.
Of course, right?
Of course she is.
It's the movie itself, it's pretty good, but there are certain scenes that are awesome.
Yeah.
Like the wax on, wax off. Okay, you know what game we were playing in the yard the other day? She sits there and I throw snowballs at her.
Yeah.
And I call out I'll go, wax on, and she'll do the move to like block the snowball.
Yeah.
Or paint the fence.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
If I can hit her 10 times, I win. If she can block them 10 times, she wins.
I have this image now of a neighbor looking down going, call the cops. This old man is throwing snowballs at a young girl.
I'll put it to this way. Our house makes a lot more sense in 1983.
Yeah. I think with Karate Kid, it's just, It is all the classic things. It has underdog. It is the right. It has the right villain, the right hero, and the right supporting cast,
and the right mentor.
Yeah, the right mentor
is so important.
Who you have that moment of pathos. You know, when he's
every
drunk.
Coming of age movie needs a great mentor.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't work. Like Luke had Obi-Wan, and then Yoda. He had two.
Yeah.
Why is he so bitter?
Yeah.
He had two great mentors. And he's so angry. I haven't seen the third one, so don't spoil it for me.
It redeems. Again, I really liked it. Right. Tied the room.
People hate it, though.
Well, I mean, it's Star Wars. The people that hate it are going to be louder. But like The Rug and Lebowski, it tied the room together. The third movie, it does.
Okay.
It really does.
Okay. So, yes, we are at a point now where the changing of the guard at the NFL quarterback position is already underway.
Yeah, and it felt like it really...
Or is it already here?
It's here. No, it's here because of what happened in the playoffs with all the old guard losing, and now with Eli retiring, we're here. I don't know if we ever see Rivers again. I don't know if we ever see Roethlisberger again, and Brady is in limbo right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he comes back to New England, but...
So... Prognosticator.
Yeah.
Of the old guard, who's the most likely to have a great year next year? It's Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah, but I don't consider...
Or is it Drew Brees? Drew Brees played great this year.
He did.
When he came back from injury, yeah. He played great.
I don't know if I can say... I mean, I guess Aaron Rodgers is 36, but he still feels a little bit in between. He feels like he's in between the two generations.
Well, because the other guys are in their 40s.
Yeah. So, I mean, Brees has more weapons around him... Brady is a better quarterback. I don't know. Something. I'm going to go Brady. There's something about Brees that just didn't. It didn't feel right. And I know it's one game, and
Brees is the guy.
Yeah. What's that?
Brees is the guy. And plus, he's still like Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is a completely unscientific analysis of Aaron Rodgers and why it's not working.
He has
a jerk face.
He does. He has a jerk face. And he has droopy dog eyes. It's him or Patrick Marleau had the saddest eyes in sports.
Yeah, Patrick Marleau really did have the sad eyes.
Sad eyes.
It's like they're one of those sad clown dolls with the long, dark lashes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
No, but like Aaron Rodgers is one of those annoying people that shows their displeasure on their face.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't even yell at you. Like I'd rather you yell at me than look at me like I'm shit.
Yeah.
He just every time something goes wrong, it looks like in his mind he has a drop down menu of all the people who have let him down.
He's got resting bitch face.
he really does.
That's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah,
it's so true. He's just not. I want to root for him.
Mm-hmm.
He dated Olivia Munn.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She really is.
Yeah.
But honestly, there's just not much to like there.
I'm gonna go with Brady. They beat Tennessee if Edelman doesn't drop an easy pass.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just think the relevance of all that old guard, I think it's done and over because it's time. As you said, if they're not 40, they're close to 40, and they've been hit a lot.
And that's why it's better for the NFL if Kansas City wins, because then they have an ascendant quarterback. San Francisco might be the better team. They probably are the better
team.
They have the better coach. They have the better roster.
They're the better team. KC's got the better quarterback.
Right. And so because it's a game of stars, or at least a game of quarterback stars, it's better for the NFL if they can go into next season with him riding, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's better for the NFL. You're absolutely right. Because then you've got in the AFC, you got, there's the MVP, and there's the best quarterback. In the entire league. Like Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. There's no diggity debate about it.
And nothing makes a league more fun than two great players that are playing for history against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was Bird and Magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Chicago Bulls era was awesome. But who was Michael's rival?
When the dealer was showing a face card. Restraint. Fidelity.
God, you're on fire today, buddy.
You are. And then I'm going to go on air today. I've wasted it.
Yeah, you're going to go on air. You're going to be like,
I'm going to get on there and do like a sad take. Yeah, the All-Star game. All-Star game sucks. Coming up next. Why are there not more Leafs in the top 50?
All right. Quick sidebar. I've been awful today, but I don't care. Quick sidebar today.
Yeah.
What's more annoying for media people to bitch about?
Ooh.
How much they don't like the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Or when a game goes into overtime and they have to rewrite their story at the last minute?
Yeah, that's a good one. Both are excellent. The complaining about the food in the press box.
That's also a good one. Top. Let's just throw together a quick top five things that the sports writer should stop complaining about.
New uniforms.
Okay, that's a weird one. I feel no, like uniforms, this is Family Feud where it's like, okay, good answer, good answer.
No, uniforms. Like, oh, these uniforms are an embarrassment. I'm like, all right. It's for 12-year-olds. Who cares what that Oregon is wearing lime green?
Okay, this doesn't count, but I don't want to hear it anymore. It's not really a complaint, but when they talk about somebody as a great quote, I don't care.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like it may make your life easier because you have somebody quotable, but guess what I don't care about?
Yeah.
Your life.
Yeah, exactly. We get it. You're all going to go to Zach Hyman, but you know we're tired of it. Yeah, let's see. Other things that the media complains about. Connecting flights.
Oh, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
Yeah, I'm going to put I'd put that one there. Where were we? Oh. So NFL, next week we can talk about the Super Bowl. Before we get to the Leafs.
Yeah.
We got the Rappies, Zion Williamson, a lot going on. There is a fear and a panic that envelopes? Is it envelopes?
It depends what you mean. Do you mean the things that you put letters in, or do you think something that embraces?
Embraces.
Yeah, that's envelopes.
Envelops any urban area when you see the shuttle bus.
That is true. Okay, so we'll get back to this now. So
yeah,
I was walking towards King Street today to jump on the 504 to come see you and do this pod. And so I saw a streetcar roll by, and it was pretty empty, and I thought, well, that looks good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get that sigh of relief. It's like it's working.
Yeah.
It's not filled with people, which means it's probably on schedule.
Yeah.
Followed immediately afterwards by a shuttle bus. Now, of course, what happens next is the next streetcar comes and it's a shit show and it's slow and it takes me about an hour to get across the city to come see you.
Yeah.
But we all know in our guts that when you see the shuttle bus, whatever you have planned to do next in your day, cancel it.
Yeah. At minimum, add an hour. At minimum, when you see... Because it means the streetcar, the subway, something is down, and now everyone is lining up for the... And then rules start to get bent. People are now butting. It gets packed, and you're trying to get one more person in. And it made me realize like that we as a society, and I think in North America, we're soft. We are soft. We're not ready for a catastrophe here, you know, in so many... Certainly not in Toronto. Maybe in other cities that deal with more flooding and earthquakes or things like that. But in Toronto, we've gotten fat and soft. We couldn't handle anything.
Just look at our raccoons.
Yeah. The raccoons are winning. We get 7 centimeters of snow, and it's called a winter storm alert. Meanwhile, Newfoundland is like, my house is buried. Literally, I'm not even being hyperbole. My house is buried in snow. We are soft here in Toronto.
Yeah, but we got places to go.
We do. We have things to see, people. But you're right about the raccoons. Like, when we've got to develop, every couple of years, we develop new garbage technology, you know, against something without opposable thumbs. Like, think about it. Like, we are getting dominated by those fat little fuckers.
They're kind of admirable.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they got game.
They do. Oh.
And they can adjust from game to game. They're Bill Belichick.
I got a better one.
Okay.
They're Kyle Lowry.
Nice.
Yeah, they can adjust on the fly. You look at them and you go, how is that thing dominating us? Look how chubby it is. And then you look up at the end of the day, it's like, oh, it won again.
So somebody needs to do a meme of Kyle Lowry, but like with the raccoon mask on his eyes, because he is like the perfect Toronto athlete / mascot.
Yeah.
Not bad, Matt. You are really good today.
I want to take this pod and just put it on at 2:00 for game day and then just go to the cafeteria, you know, go get a sandwich.
I've been considering something and I don't know how I feel about it. And it's not a promise. It's just a thought at this point. I'm considering being a guest on your show.
That'd be awesome.
I know. And I've always said no. Well, we would goof around.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not saying I would be a great guest. It's we would goof around. Well, I guess I am saying that.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Now, I'm not committed to this yet, but I might do it because that's a way we could promote the pod.
Yeah. And we got to see if we get you on like the Breakfast Club.
I don't want to do it.
You'd be with Landsberg.
Yeah, I love Landsberg, but you know, I don't want to do it. Does it pay?
It can, you know.
If it pays.
Yeah, if it pays. Then it's
yeah, like, but I'm not a sports guy anymore. I mean, I have your pod.
Yeah, well, our pod.
But I'm saying like...
Your name's
When you're on... That's true.
Yeah.
That goes back to the old radio days.
Yeah.
When I was first.
Yeah, exactly.
but,
Weird.
But like Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers,
yeah.
You know,
times change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about it.
That'd be fantastic.
I would love it.
Yeah.
And maybe we even do like a day, mm-hmm. like where I, like a Friday or something where
yeah.
I phone in.
That'd be awesome.
I'm considering it.
And then the last second, yeah, we got to bump you for this writer from The Athletic. I'm sorry, Bob.
That's so good.
We'll have to get Sean next week.
Sean Fitzgerald just wrote a really awesome piece about Notre Dame.
Yeah, exactly. Sean's interviewed someone from The Fan. We got to put him on. Wait a minute. You're bumping us for Sean, and he's talking about someone from The Fan?
He just did a Tara Sloan profile. Yeah. He actually did just do a Tara Sloan profile.
She's fantastic.
I've known her for a long time.
Yeah.
She's awesome. We came up together in music.
Yeah.
She was successful.
Speaking of fantastic, our lawyer. Fantastic.
Nice segue.
Yeah, Jeff Pollock, the lawyer for this podcast. He's our sponsor. He's fantastic. And if you are looking for a lawyer, if you ever need one, this isn't one of those sight unseen. We use him. We use him when we have to. He's fantastic. He's our lawyer. He should be yours. And whatever it is, litigation, states, trust, corporate, commercial, real estate law, your wills, whatever it is. If you need them, 416-777-0088, 416-777-0088, or jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com.
One of my favorite things, Matt, is how as soon as there's a break in the Leafs schedule, mm-hmm. everything turns to trade articles. Like now everywhere you turn, it's okay, so who can we trade?
Yeah.
There's no game to discuss.
Oh, yeah.
So who do we get rid of?
Yeah.
And who do we want?
Let me ask you this.
Matt Dumba trending last night.
What's that?
Matt Dumba trending last night. Of course he is.
Whenever you see like a good, not great NHL defenseman trending on Twitter.
He's been linked with Toronto?
He's been linked with Toronto. Oh, 100%.
Wasn't it Noah Hanifin just 3 days ago?
Oh, yeah. Give it time. It's like last year, the phrase that pays was Leafs got to start on time. This year, it's activating the D.
Uh-huh.
Like that's the phrase. Like every year. Actually, we did a fun game. We cut sound of Pierre Maguire from 6 different times in the last year.
And you had to guess which year it was?
I had to guess when he said this.
That's
clip.
A great game.
Yeah.
Who thought of that? Nice, Matt. Good job.
It's almost like I've produced before. If the Leafs had beaten Chicago.
Well, wait a minute. But if you pick the clips, isn't it kind of.
No. I gave the idea. And then my producer, shout out to Sean Lavery, found the sound.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give him credit as well. Like, this is something that we've been thinking.
Did you get
about.
Them all right?
No. A couple I got wrong. Okay. I was like 3.5 out of 6. If the Leafs had beaten Chicago on mm-hmm. last Saturday, it was 3-1. Nylander scored early in the second. Let's say the Leafs go on a run from that point on in the game and they beat the Blackhawks, which could have happened. Blackhawks aren't a great team. How different would this week have felt in terms of tone from fans and a little bit from the media?
The whole thing is so stupid that it's so predictable. And here's the deal. The Leafs should make a deal if there's a good one.
Yeah.
The Raptors should not.
Exactly.
And it's that simple.
It's that simple.
Like the Raptors are now healthy again. Mm-hmm. And you can see when they're healthy again, they're really good.
Yeah.
And if you could make a deal that would improve them in the long term, well, yeah, sure, you would do that. But it's less likely with the Raptors just based on what they have, what they need, and their immediate financial future. With the Leafs, it's a little easier to make a deal because you've got tradable assets in a Johnsson or a Kapanen or a Kerfoot.
Yeah.
And it could turn into something else. And you would only do it if it was a Jake Muzzin type deal where if you get them for this year and a little more.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have the assets. They also don't have, like the Leafs don't have a ton of picks, like good picks in the next couple of years. Like
no first rounder last year, no first rounder this year.
Right. So, yeah. You know, and the prospect pool is, you know, most of them are playing now.
Like yeah.
They're in a restocking period.
The Marlies are no longer the dominant team. They've lost a whole bunch because for very predictable. All the good players are not there anymore.
Well, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so you got to keep restocking the pond. And now they're in the stock the pond mode a little bit. Maybe there's a couple more nice surprises, but a Jeremy Bracco wants to be traded. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know who we're looking at the Marlies and saying, I think there's real help coming there, especially with Liljegren now being considered for the NHL roster. The point is simply this. Everybody's desperate to do something because they lost to the Blackhawks in ugly fashion.
Yeah.
If they had kicked their asses in, if it had been an 8-2 victory, we would be, oh, Keefe's ascendant. The Leafs can't be stopped. And they've had the fourth best record in the NHL since Sheldon Keefe took over.
Mm-hmm.
Things are working out great.
Now,
but there's this idea because they were on a heater that it's going to continue indefinitely. Well, yeah. Of course, a goal-scoring team would slow down in its goal scoring.
Mm-hmm. And I get the, they've lost 5 of 6, and that loss to Florida was an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 6-4 loss to Edmonton, a lazy third period against New Jersey. Like, I get where the concern comes from. I really do believe that if they'd beaten Chicago, because they're off, it's also because they're off for a week. Got to talk about something. If they'd beaten Chicago, I think we'd all be feeling a little bit better about ourselves. But you have to acknowledge, I mean, as of now, they're not in the playoffs, and the team, there are a bunch of teams ahead of them in the wild card, but there's nothing saying that they're not going to go on another heater. It's just Freddie Anderson.
Well, you would kind of expect that they do. So this is what I've come to accept, that sports teams are like offices. And at your office, something is always wrong. Mm-hmm. Every single day, something is not going right.
Yes.
But you soldier through it because whatever, it's not that big a deal. Some days, 2 things go wrong and it becomes a hard day. And you can still do what you need to do, but it just becomes a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And then there are those days where 3 or 4 things go wrong and your project becomes a shit show. And you're like, this is a wash and I'm going to start again tomorrow. The Leafs are in the shit show phase. They are in the 3 or 4 things going wrong at the same time. Like if the defense gets hurt and you lose your top 2 best defensemen. Okay, well, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. But if you're scoring and the goalie is really good, you can probably still be okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now I've lost my 2 best defensemen and the goaltending's bad. Well, you know, if I'm scoring like crazy, I suppose I could probably still eke out a victory here or there. But a bunch of things happen wrong in a row and the team looks terrible. And that is utterly predictable because the cycle of mistakes is constantly churning. The cycle of obstacles, you know, that you have to face. And sometimes it comes up where you got 3 lemons and you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You lose 5 of 6. And that's what happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes you come up 3 cherries and nobody can beat you. And that's just what it is. And that's what it's kind of at the heart of analytics is, give me the best odds to get to 3 cherries. I know it's not going to happen every time, but if I increase the odds that it's going to happen, like calibrating the slot machine so that it pops up more often. Well, that's great. So people see the 3 lemons and they're like, well, we got to blow this team up.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't made any advancement, which is utterly ridiculous. Of course they have.
Yeah. Well said.
But there are opportunities to make the team better, right? Because the one thing that we knew could bite them on the ass is they're a little thin on D, right? Like maybe as a D core at the beginning of the year, if everyone is healthy, they're okay. Maybe even pretty good if they have, you know, if they're playing well. But a couple injuries and they're up shit's creek.
And Freddie hasn't played well.
That's the big thing.
Freddie hasn't played well. And also, another sneaky thing, and I know it's weird because they do score a lot. At the beginning of the year, TSN did their top 50 list, you know, projecting who's going to be the top 50 players. At the time, Morgan Riley was higher than John Carlson. Oh, those were
really?
Good. Yeah. Well, because they're going into coming into this year.
Yeah, sure. I remember but John Carlson.
Morgan Riley, 70 points, was a Norris Trophy. You know, he's in the conversation. And it wasn't like there was a huge gap between the two, but Morgan Riley's like 5 spots ahead.
Okay.
But going into the year, John Tavares was 12th. Now he's 43rd. Tavares hasn't had a, you know, and a part of it's injuries, but he hasn't had a particularly strong year.
He's playing much, much better lately. And we shouldn't be so shocked about this because he had an injury. And who knows how this factors in, but maybe the fact that he had a kid and that changes things at home
it
and you
should.
Gotta get used to it. It changed me.
Yeah.
I still haven't slept.
Yeah.
She just turned 10. So, you know, he had a bad start to the year, but he's been really hot lately.
Mm-hmm.
He looks great. I think that they're the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I hope they're the Pittsburgh Penguins.
You know,
because you know we talk all the time about, oh, they got to be more consistent. Very few teams are like truly consistent. No one's consistent for 82 games. The key is to be as consistent for as long as you can. And then your analogy, then you get the 3 lemons, and then it's just try to get the 3 cherry phase back again as soon as you can.
The reason I say I think they're the Penguins is because they're built around 2 dominant centers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Morgan Riley is Chris Letang.
Nope.
But basically, they're very strong at forward. They're adequate at defense, but with 1 really good player, Morgan Riley.
Yeah.
Although I think Jake Muzzin has proven to be better than maybe we give him credit for. But anyway, I don't think Riley is Letang, and the comparison breaks down a bit there. And you need really hot goaltending.
Yeah.
And even the way they play. Like the idea that the defense is not bruising and it's not going to punish you, but the idea is to get to pucks quick and get out of danger fast. There's a lot of ways to play defense. And I feel like the NHL for so many years has been just enormous guys separating you from the puck.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to happen with this team, not with the Leafs. But if they can get to pucks fast and disrupt passing lanes and create chaos, we've talked about this before.
Then you're in a good spot.
You know what? And maybe defense turns to offense, and at its best, that's really hard for the other team to deal with. But going back to this idea of where they're at, maybe Kerfoot is better as a winger than a center. Maybe. I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been the best year for him. He's had some health problems too, but it feels like Barry's gotten on track.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Oof. Well, he's better than he has been under Keefe, right?
Yeah. And yeah, he's better than he was under Babcock.
You know, and it sounds like he's enjoying himself more. And that was a weird trade for a guy. Like, you leave a team that you've known your whole career. You go to somewhere, Babcock's an asshole. He's telling you to play in a way that's no good for you. You're going into a contract year. Like, that's a lot of negatives.
Yes, it is.
But he seems happier now. But Kerfoot, I don't know. I expected this to be better than it was.
You brought up the idea of Tavares and how impactful having a kid is. And I always like to play this game with myself of, and I've done this on air, which is great because I don't have children, but signs you're a bad parent.
Okay, let's do it.
And like, I was thinking about it. When the guy, if a guy comes up to you, you know, you're having a conversation with a friend, and a guy or girl, doesn't matter. And, you know, they've just had a kid. And you go, wow, how has your life changed? If they go, my life hasn't really changed that much. Bad parent. If you are still in two baseball fantasy leagues and you're doing well in them, you're a bad parent. Because that takes all of your time, stupid base. Figure out who's the third baseman for the Padres. Third San Diego Padres reference in this pod. So I always like to think of what are the things, like if you've seen every Oscar movie, nominated film, bad parent.
I'm going to throw one more on the pile here.
Yeah.
College sports.
Oh, yeah.
If you know anything about college sports.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You probably could ramp up the parenting.
If you get into March Madness, fine. But if it's February and you're talking about Big East basketball, bad parent.
Ooh, Kentucky and Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's, those are, I was like that, the signs.
I wanted to watch it. That's why I brought it up. They played the other night.
Oh.
I couldn't watch it though. You know why? Because I had to help Charlotte with her math homework.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, a little bit more important than Kentucky.
Well, not based on how she did.
That's what's that?
I don't think she's going to be a mathematician. I probably could have stayed down there and watched the game. I'm not sure it's going to make any difference.
ACC versus SEC. Well, I guess you had Clemson, you know, going up against Alabama. Anyway, is there
maybe it was Arkansas? I think it was Arkansas. Anyway, sorry. Anyway,
yeah. So bad. Yeah. I always like to think of those things where your life is supposed to change. It's supposed to change in monumental ways, in a good way, in a bad way, and in every way, because you're doing the most important thing. You're raising the next generation of taxpayers.
We were laughing. My daughter just turned 10 and we were laughing. We should take a picture of me holding her underneath the oven fan.
Yeah.
Because when she was little, that would be one of the only things that could get her to sleep.
Yeah.
Was me holding her under the oven fan while it was cranked up to full.
Yeah.
The white noise apparently is soothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it would take like 15 or 20 minutes. Well, she weighs like 15 pounds.
Oh.
That's not heavy.
Yeah.
But if you're going to hold someone that you can't put down for 20 minutes.
It's good upper core workout.
You know what? You also know if you don't have upper body strength, bad parent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The greatest force in the world is not electromagnetism, it's mom core strength.
Oh yeah, just picking up, grabbing last second, all
with one arm, yeah. And then the other arm. Like the other thing is, I'm pretty messy, as you know,
yeah,
and disheveled. And I noticed one of the biggest changes in my life was I always walked into a room and walked out with something in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like everywhere you go, you're putting something away.
Yes. Oh, that's a great point.
Every single room you go into,
yeah,
you walk out with something that was on the floor.
This doesn't go here. Why is this here? It goes there, not here.
Who was the baseball guy? We used to do this bit on the radio show. He had, it was like parent analytics, and he came up with all these like crazy baseball-esque stats for like ratios and
probably
percentages.
Drew Hayhurst.
No, it wasn't him. It was Dirk Hayhurst.
Dirk Hayhurst.
What's he doing these days?
He's gotten out of the sports media gig. I don't know what he's doing now. He was always great on air.
He wrote some good books.
Yeah. By the way, Rich Griffin, if you're listening, could you leave the Blue Jays and go back to the Star? It was a real hit on our baseball guest roster when you left to go work for the Blue Jays.
I like Andrew Stoughton.
Yeah. I like Stoughton as well. There is good ones out there. Just I miss Griff. Mm-hmm. Griff had the best tweet, by the way.
Kristen Shulton, by the way, is killing it.
Yeah.
She's killing it. They've really given her an like increased profile.
Yep.
And she is running with it. I think she's doing an amazing job.
I'm biased.
Kayla Gray?
Yep. Kayla Gray's doing
that. She used to do updates at the station.
Yeah, and now she's on SportsCenter.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah.
Like my wife was watching with me. Like we don't watch SportsCenter very often, but it was on. You're flipping by and she goes, who's that? She's good.
Yep.
Some people just have the I'm going to United States vibe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought Carolyn Cameron had the I'm going to the United States vibe.
But she's still here.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Well, I was wrong. And she still might.
Yeah.
But I thought she'd be gone by now.
Yeah, but yeah, good on Kayla. And she, you know, had a baby like a year ago. So good
for
her.
Who did?
Kayla.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, good for her. She's young.
Yeah.
Good for her.
There you go.
My mom was 17.
Yeah.
That's young.
Yeah. My mom was 19 when she had my older brother, Scott.
I always say to my mom, Mom, when you had the amazing plan of being in grade 11 and decided to have a child.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're learning, you know, when you're learning about the how the railroad helped build Canada and you got a kid. Yeah. When you're learning about lactating and Sir John A. McDonald, that's a full day. That is a full, full day.
It's one of the reasons we're so proud of her, that she went back to school, went to university, got her degree, won an award, was invited to do some postgraduate work.
Yep. Buffalo Phil threw in a question.
Okay, then.
Big picture Leaf question. And it's a classic one about fan perspective, about does a team like the Maple Leafs, do they really care about winning? Because they always sell out. They always are going to get ad revenue, merchandise, concessions, licensing, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's not like, and he says, not like Carolina or Florida where it's literally do or die. And, you know, my quick thought on it is that, yes, these teams want to win because there's always other revenue streams. And if you win a championship and you do a parade, that helps to ensure a younger generation comes in. And also, the beauty is the playoffs are free money. The contracts are done. You pay a player for the regular season. So every home playoff game, that's more money. And as we started, you want to rub the money belly. And that's playoff runs.
So I'm going to answer it defending the fan that thinks the Leafs aren't as hungry as other organizations.
Which can easily, there's an argument.
I think that that's true. If you're San Jose and you're not perennially a playoff team, what happens to your gate?
Goes down.
Right? If you're Carolina and you're not winning, what happens to your gate?
Oh, yeah. Same thing.
Right? So the idea that these other markets want to win, and you look at these teams that are always trying to be good but never seem to win big. Mm-hmm. Well, there's usually, if you scratch the surface to that, an owner who's saying, we got to make the playoffs, guys. So just do what you have to do. And the general manager treading water, trying to figure out, how do I make sure my roster is good enough that we're always making the playoffs? Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at like a Las Vegas team, you know, what's their owner saying? Like they're pretty intent on winning now.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, God, yeah. They fired Gallant.
Right? Like Gerard Gallant's a good coach.
They were in a playoff spot when they fired him.
So what are the expectations there, right? Mm-hmm. Like how good are you going to be? I guess my point, to go back to Buffalo's Phil's thing, is I don't think the Leafs have to think this way. It's like they could be 30 out of 30 for the next 10 years and turn an enormous profit.
Yeah.
So the hunger isn't there in the same way. You're right in the sense that there's a bigger pie, and I think the Raptors probably whetted that appetite even more.
Oh, yeah.
When you saw just how big it could be.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're as hungry as other organizations. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, because a lot of those organizations make bad decisions because they're trying to win now.
Yeah.
And they won't let themselves build out properly.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point. Sometimes that desperation can be wonderful, but it also can lead to having 4 GMs and 7 coaches in 8 years.
There's one thing that is absolutely clear to me, though, and that is the Leafs don't care about the fan experience. The in-game ops stink. Mm-hmm. And there's no, like when you go to a Raptors game, the in-game ops are amazing.
Yeah.
And you look around the league in the NHL, and there are other organizations that clearly put more thought into what the fan experience is like in the arena.
Carolina, Vegas.
Vancouver, like across, you know, the MTS Center is a lot more fun. Like the Scotiabank or whatever the frig it's called these days. It's basically a mausoleum where they play hockey, and they clearly don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care whether or not the fans at home have an affordable ticket that they can go see a game. It's not a very loving franchise.
No. I mean, they do a good job with respecting history. They do a good job with like honoring the military. So, but when it comes to just fan experience and being this loving thing, yeah, you know.
They've been extremely progressive when it comes to the business of winning.
Yep.
Right, over the last 5 years and the Shanna plan and all that. But I haven't seen a ton of outreach that's really worked or a ton of desire to do outreach. It's like they just want to shut up and win and wait for the parade.
Yeah.
Keep a low profile.
Mm-hmm.
Win some games.
Grind.
Plan the parade. Yep. The other thing is, because it's a massive media company that owns the Leafs, it's also a different relationship with the community than an individual owner would have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like Jerry Jones, Mike Ilitch down the board, like the I got to win now.
Yeah. Well, you have a more sense of ownership with the team. We go, okay, that's our boss, and we see him all the or that the boss, that's the owner, and you know, and they have a more sense of being part of the community versus when it's Bell or Rogers, because there's going to be higher cynicism, and when they send out a message like, "What corporate group speak was that?" And I've been on hold for 32 minutes because my Wi-Fi isn't working.
I don't know what's better. Like in your mind, generally speaking, mm-hmm. what is better for a team? The individual owner mm-hmm. or the faceless conglomerate slash portfolio of investment properties.
And that's what's going to be coming up on episode 151 of the Macko and Cos podcast.
Are we out of time?
We are, Bob, out of time.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Can we just say one quick thing about the Raptors?
Yeah.
Just keep them together.
Yeah.
They're an awesomely fun team. Yeah. They have a chance to make two, three, maybe even four rounds in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Fingers crossed that they wind up second or third seed.
Mm-hmm. Avoid Milwaukee as long as you can.
Right.
And yeah, there's an excellent chance they could get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Which would be so friggin' fun.
Exactly. Bob, this has been a hoot. I'm headed off to Barbados tomorrow.
Are you really?
Yeah. Going to Barbados.
Hey, congratulations.
Visit my dad.
Nice.
I rented a condo for a month, so we're going to go visit him.
Amazing. When are you back? You back next week?
I am back on Tuesday. We'll have to do the pod on either Thursday or Friday. Oh, actually, no, I can do it Wednesday.
Okay, but let's do it Thursday because I'm going to be busy on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I think I can do Thursday. So a week today, we reconvene.
Right.
And we'll do our All-Star Game debrief.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Because
I know 4 days after the All-Star Game, everyone's going to want to know
our
takes.
We'll do the hacky one of, the All-Star Game. It doesn't even resemble hockey. I mean, we could record it now. We could literally record our assessment of the All-Star Game now.
All right.
Bob, have a fantastic week. Rub the money, Belly, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cos podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.